shout hallelujah.
Yes.
If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Yes.
Amen. We give honor to God, give honor to our pastor and our first lady, give honor to Elder Bailey, Sister Nicholson, Elder Nicholson, Sister Ware, and all the children that are here this afternoon. We give honor to God especially for giving us another chance to be here one more time in his service. Amen.
Amen.
We just want to thank God for his love, his grace, and his mercy.
Yes.
And we're going to just get right into the message. We're going to bow our heads for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone please stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for blessing us. Thank you for bringing us out together one more time. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, we ask that you just bless us at this time, Lord. Bless your word, Lord, that those that need to hear, Lord, have an ear to hear. Lord, we ask that you just keep us, lead us, and guide us in your will and in your way. Lord, lead us with your thoughts, not our thoughts, Lord. Let us decrease so that you may increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to ask that you open up your Bibles and that you turn to Luke, the 15th chapter. Amen. And where our subject is going to be coming from, our main scripture, is Luke, the 15th chapter and the 32nd verse. Amen. And when you all have it, please say amen. We again are coming from Luke, the 15th chapter, but our main focus is on that 32nd verse of Luke, the 15th chapter. All right, and when you have to say amen.
Amen.
All right, and it reads, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." You may all be seated. And our subject is, I was lost, but now I'm found.
Amen.
And I'm glad I've been restored. This is the parable of the prodigal son. He was found in Luke, the 15th chapter, the 11th through the 32nd verses. We're going to start at the beginning of the chapter because the beginning of the chapter helps to understand the whole story of the prodigal son. So in the beginning of the 15th chapter, we see that there are publicans and sinners that are drawn near to hear Christ. And the Pharisees and the scribes, going to the second verse of the 15th chapter, the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmur amongst each other. And they say, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Also, if we look back at Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 30th verse, the scribes and the Pharisees said the same thing against Jesus' disciples, saying, why do you eat, do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?
Yes.
So they're asking this question, and they're wondering, why is Jesus sitting here with publicans and sinners eating? And Jesus answers and says unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this is why he has received the sinner and he eats with them. Because those that are whole don't need a physician.
Yes.
But he came for the sinners to have repentance. For the Son of Man, then in Matthew 18 and 11, Jesus says, this is why he received them. And Jesus also said in Matthew 18 and 11 and Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yes, yes.
So if he's come to save that which is lost, and the physician, the Pharisees and the scribes feel that they are not lost, then it makes sense for him to eat and drink with the sinners. And then as we read further, Jesus spoke, as we read in, we go back to Luke the 15th chapter, and as we read further, Jesus spoke three parables in Luke 15. The first is about 100 sheep, one being lost. When the one is found, there is rejoicing.
Yes.
So if we read Luke the 15th and the first verse, it says, Then drew near him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And again, like I said, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 800 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.
Yes.
He says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner,
yes,
who repented.
Yes.
Not just one sinner, but a sinner who repented.
Yes.
Who repented over 99 persons who are just. Mm. That is the first parable.
Yes.
Then we go to the second parable. The second parable starts at the 8th verse.
Yeah.
And it says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle,
yes,
and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it.
Uh-huh.
And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found,
yes,
the piece which I had lost.
Yes.
Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels,
yes,
of God,
yes,
over one sinner,
uh-huh,
that repented.
Mm-hmm.
In both of these, there is rejoicing, mm-hmm, over a sinner who repented.
Yes.
One, the first one said, heaven rejoices.
Uh-huh.
The second parable says, now the angels of God are rejoicing over the one sinner who repented.
Yes, well.
These two have come together, mm-hmm, to show us that God's love for us and how he does not want us to stay in sin.
Yes.
That's how much he loves us.
Yes.
And they rejoice when we turn away from sin and come to him.
Yes, yes.
So then, like I said, it shows his love for us from a turning away from sin. While we were lost, it shows that God searched for us. Because if you read and look at it, the owner of the sheep had to go out and search for the sheep until he found it.
Yes.
The owner of the 10 pieces of silver, she lost one,
yes,
and she searched until she found it.
Yes.
That shows love.
Uh-huh.
And God's love for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we get into the third parable and the
now
final parable.
Uh-huh.
And it is very well known.
Yes.
The parable of the prodigal son.
Mm.
Luke 15 and 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons.
Yeah.
And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided it unto them, his living, his goods. The livings, when I looked it up, it says livings are his goods or his wealth.
Yes.
So he divided up his livings to his sons.
Well.
And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country.
Yes.
And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Uh-huh. And it kind of reminds me of when Pastor was speaking and he said, when you're on your journey, you're going far away from God if you're going on your journey.
Yes.
So this reminds me of what he was doing. He was going far away from his father. He was on ready to go on his journey.
Well, yes.
So he went on his journey, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living.
Come on.
Riotous living, when I looked that up, it said you squander things while you're rioting. Riotous, it says it's the word they say for riot are you are, sorry, I'm looking for the word, but you are being disruptive.
Yes.
Disruptive living.
Yes.
So he had a disruptive living. And when he had spent all there, all when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land.
Come on now.
And he began to be in want.
Yes.
So God works so mysteriously because he lost everything.
Yes, he did.
While he was living and he had all his money and everything, it seemed like all was well. There wasn't a famine. But as soon as he lost it all, there became a famine.
There you go.
And he began to be in want.
Yes, yes.
He realized he needed what he had just lost.
Yes.
And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine.
Yes.
So now he lost everything and he has to go and feed the swine.
Come on,
and
come
he
on.
Would fain, having filled his belly with the husk of that swine, did eat, and no man gave unto him.
Yes.
So looking up the word fame, because I said fame, you know, he doesn't, when you read the word, there are certain words that stick out, should stick out to you, and it's not in there just for any reason.
Yes.
So I looked up the word fame, and it says, willing under the circumstances. So under the circumstances, he was willing to feed his belly with the husk that the swine did eat.
Yes.
So the first half of this parable shows us that how selfish and ungrateful that we can be to God.
Yes.
It shows us how when we ask God for what we believe we deserve, that he gives it to us.
Yes.
We then squander it, and then we go to someone else for help. We don't go back to the person that gave it to us.
No.
We go to someone else for help.
Yeah.
Now we have to work extra hard to try to get back what we have lost.
Yes.
But what we find is that we have barely enough to feed ourselves.
Yes.
And under the circumstances, since no one will help, we find ourselves eating with swine.
Yeah.
Going to the 17th verse, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare and perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Yes.
These two verses show putting away pride. We come to ourselves realizing that before we had a job, a boss, and so-called friends who we thought we could depend on, God is the one who has always and will always be there.
Yes, amen.
You may have true, genuine people, like true, genuine friends that you think that will always be there. Well, and you might be able to depend on them.
Yes.
But think about, what I always do, is think about if I ask them, what am I taking away from them?
Yes.
What do they have to give up to help me? But if you go to your father, yes, who says, I have all that you need,
yes,
you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about going to anyone else if you go to your father.
All right.
Looking at Luke, the 11th chapter and the 9th verse, he says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given.
That's it. Well,
seek, and ye shall find.
Yes.
Knock, and it shall be open unto you. The 10th verse, I had to put a star on that one.
Yes.
It says, for everyone that asketh, mm-hmm, receiveth.
Yes.
And he that seeketh,
yes,
findeth.
Come on.
And to him that knocketh,
yes,
it shall be open.
Yes.
When you depend on God,
yes,
he said, ask, mm-hmm, and you will receive.
Yes.
But you say, Lord, it may be too much. He said, ask. Mm-hmm. You say, Lord, I don't know if you'll do it. Mm-hmm. He said, ask.
Yes.
Lord, I misused it. Mm-hmm. He said, ask.
Yes. Well,
we ask in fear,
yes,
and without confidence,
yes,
that God will answer.
Yes.
We seek others,
uh-huh,
finding ourselves further away from God.
That's it.
We stand at the door wondering,
yes,
is it the right time to knock?
Yes.
Thinking that he may be too busy.
Yes.
But Jesus said, everyone that asketh, receiveth.
Yes.
Yes.
He said that everyone that seeketh, findeth.
Yes.
He said, if you knock,
yes,
it shall be open.
Yes.
Why are you knocking? Why are you not seeking?
Yes.
And why are you not asking?
Yes.
Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 32nd through the 34th verse, it says, for after all these things, mm-hmm, do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father,
yes,
knoweth that ye have need, mm-hmm, of all things.
Yes, yes.
But, what are you seeking for, right?
Yes.
But, seek ye first.
Come on.
First.
First.
The kingdom of God,
yes,
and his righteousness.
Come on.
And all these things,
yes,
shall be added unto you.
Yes.
Take therefore no thought,
no thought,
for the morrow.
Yes.
For the morrow,
yes,
shall take thought for the things of itself.
Yes.
Amen. Take no thought for what's going on tomorrow.
Yes.
Because tomorrow will take care of itself.
Yes. Yes.
Going back to Luke, the 15th chapter and the 19th verse. And it says, and it reads, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.
Yes.
Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Yes.
And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off,
yes,
his father saw him.
Saw it.
And had compassion.
Come on.
And ran and fell on his neck,
yes,
and kissed him.
Yes.
And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against you,
yes,
and heaven,
yes,
and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.
Well,
but the father said to the servant, bring forth,
yes,
the best robe,
the best,
and put it on him,
yes,
and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet,
well,
and bring hither the fatted calf,
yes,
and kill it, and let us eat and be merry,
yes,
for this is my son.
My son.
My son was dead,
yes,
and he is alive again.
Yes.
He was lost,
and
is found.
Yes.
And they began to be merry.
Yes.
When we look at this, this shows us that when we stray from the Father,
yes,
the Father is still searching.
Yes.
Look at this.
Yes.
The son comes back. Father is far. He's
sees his son far away. Son's thinking, okay, I'm coming back, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell my father all this. You know how we keep rehearsing things in our minds about how when we come back to Jesus, you know, we're going to say this and do this, and we're going to make a change. The father said, the father saw him afar off. He wasn't waiting. He was searching for him all that time. The word, when I looked up the word found, it says to come upon after searching or expectantly. He said, I found my son was lost, but now he's found. He came upon him after he was searching for him, and he finally came unexpectedly. He didn't know when his son was coming, but he was still searching for his son. So, like I said, he was searching for him. And so we pray, or we always pray, and sometimes we get lost in our prayer to the Father because we're not really praying for what he wants. We pray for what we want and what we feel that we need. So like I said, when the Father finds, when God finds us, there is repentance on our part. But there is a joyful restoration. He restores us back to him. And this is what I saw the Father of this son do to him. He restored him back. He gave him a ring. He gave him the best robe. He killed the fatted calf. The word restoration means to turn something back to its original state. So I'll give you an example. The example is ice. You know I love ice. But ice is water frozen into a solid state. But when ice is melted, it turns back into its original state, which is water. That's restoration in our terms. But think about restoration in God's terms. We look at the Bible and see how when God restores, it's not just back to the original state. When God restores, you receive back more than what was lost to where the final state is greater than the original condition. This son came back. He was restored, but he had greater. When the younger son came back home, in the beginning, he couldn't wait to get out. He couldn't wait to leave. He wanted his goods right now. But when he returned home, he had a better attitude. There was more joy. There was more love. There was more appreciation. The father gave him the best robe. He gave him a ring. He gave him the best. That's God's restoration. God will give you more once he restores you. Then I started saying I was lost, but now I'm found. And I'm glad that I've been restored. When I was lost, I remember I was like the prodigal son, thinking that I could do anything on my own, settling because I wouldn't trust in God, asking the wrong people, seeking the wrong sources, and knocking on the wrong doors. But notice, when you are lost and you search for many solutions, and then you forget where everything is and where your first solution comes from. You forget about your first solution. First solution came from God. God gave you the first solution in the beginning, which is him. But you forgot about that. There's always the first solution, which is the one and only solution. Jesus said, if you ask, you will see. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, if you knock, it will be open unto you. Then we go, and we're going to look at the elder brother. Now this elder son, start at 25th verse, says, now this elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dances.
fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound.
Yes.
And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him.
Yes.
And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends.
Yes.
But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living and with harlot, thou hast killed for him the fat calf.
Well,
and he said unto him, Son,
yes,
thou art ever with me.
Yes.
And all that I have is thine.
It's thine.
We see the son has the oldest son has gotten jealous.
Yes.
For what reason? Mm. The father said, basically, what reason?
Yes.
You're with me forever.
What?
You're always with me.
Yes.
Yes. You have obeyed me. Yes. You have been with me.
Yes.
There is no reason to be jealous of your brother.
Well,
because what I have is yours.
Yes.
This is what God says to us. What I have is yours.
Yes.
You don't even have to. I'm glad you did not go out of my will.
Yes.
So therefore, there's no reason to be angry.
Yes.
Anger, that's strong. And to be angry against your own brother for coming back, I can see if he stayed out, but for coming back, there should not be any anger.
No.
But the father then continues, because he doesn't really admonish him that much. He said, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad.
Yes.
For this thy brother was dead.
Yes.
Why does the father keep saying that the brother was dead? The brother was dead to him because he left. And the death, when he left, when he left, it signified his death.
Yes.
But him coming back
signified
him being alive again.
Yes.
And he was lost. And is found.
Found.
Lost.
Lost.
And is found.
Found.
Like I said, the word lost
says
that the word lost says that you are unable to find one's way.
Yes.
He was unable to find his way back.
Yes.
But once he got into that state where he didn't have anything, there was no one there for him, he decided to turn around.
Well,
once he turned around, he decided to be found, or he was able to be found, to come upon after being searched for. His father never stopped looking for him.
Yes.
His father never stopped loving him.
Well,
his father knew that once he came back home, that he would be alive. I was lost.
Yes.
But now I'm found.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that I've been restored.
Yes.
But there's something that God just keeps on telling me as I kept reading this.
Yes.
He kept on saying, search.
Yes.
He said, seek, and ye shall find.
Yes.
Ask. That was the main thing he kept saying. Ask.
Yes.
Whatever you ask for,
yes,
it shall be given unto you.
Yes. Yes.
We keep thinking that, you know, if we ask God, you know, we might be, some of us think that we might bother him just because we're asking him. We might think that we're asking him for too much.
Yes.
But he said, ask.
Ask.
Whatever it is, ask
Thank
for
you,
it.
Jesus.
If you're in my will,
yeah.
ask for it.
Yes.
And I will
person that's going to deliver the package, you know, you need your package, but the person that's going to deliver your package is either knocking lightly or don't know that you're there. Sometimes you're not even there at the house.
Yes.
And so the person that delivers the package just leaves it there. But that's not how God is.
No.
God doesn't just leave you of your package.
No.
He said knock. Yeah. He's standing right there at the door.
Yes.
If we just walk into the door, knock. Mm-hmm. It will be open.
Yes.
And just walk into the door. Sometimes we even knock, it's open, and we won't walk in.
That's it.
Because there's something that you have to do further than just knock and then let the door open.
Yeah.
We have to walk into the door and then be able to receive what God has for us.
Well, yes, receive.
When we're asking, we must listen for the answer.
Yes. Yeah.
Not assume the answer. Oh, Lord, I asked you the question, and I'm just going to wait a very long time, because that's what we expect, or we think, that when God says ask, that it takes God a long time to answer our question.
Lord,
it does not take God a long time to answer your question.
Yes.
If you also think about it, think about that God has already answered our question even before we thought about it.
Mm. Yes.
The question's already answered.
Yes. Yes.
Why else would he say ask?
Yes.
And you shall receive.
Yes.
And then he says, seek.
Seek.
And ye shall find.
Find.
You've been searching for a long, long time.
Yes.
Searching for what you need from God.
Yes.
But you've been seeking in the wrong places.
Yes.
And he says, but if you seek me.
Me.
And first seek the kingdom of God.
Yes.
That's what you seek first.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
All these things shall be added unto you. Then he brings me back to, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that is too hard for God?
Yes.
The answer is nothing is too hard for God.
No,
let's break that word down.
Yes.
When you break that word down, he says no.